And finally, we will be looking at Turkish civilization, or at least the origins of Turkish civilization. It's Muslim, and it comes in two phases, medieval Seljuk states centered at Konya particularly, and we would call that the Seljuk period, and then finally the Ottoman Empire, which eventually used Anatolia as a base to conquer most of the Balkans and the Middle East. One way to study the continuity and change in this peninsula and of these five civilizations is to look at how the landscape of the peninsula was rewritten on various occasions. This can best be examined in the religious rewriting. And quite honestly, that was what drew me initially. How do you go from a pagan to a Christian society? Well, to my surprise, I discovered that the process I was looking at in the Roman period had its antecedents. We will see that the Hittite emperors, the men who forged the first unified state in Asia Minor, that they conducted their own version of a cultural and religious rewrite of the peninsula. They sponsored state cults based on the Hurrian and Mesopotamian models. These were the higher civilizations at the time. In many ways, they dignified the ancient Anatolian gods. They assimilated the gods of the higher civilization. They codified law. They put their stamp on the numerous cults of the peninsula in a royal pantheon, which was to support their own position, to be sure, as the great kings of Hatti, that is, central Asia Minor, but at the same time had a profound influence in staking out the religious areas, the springs, the sacred rocks, and creating a whole new religious landscape. And we'll see that their principal capital, Hattusas, was apparently rebuilt as a ritual capital, as the linchpin of this entire program in the 13th century B.C. The next sort of rewrite, if you will, cultural transformation, comes with the Greek impact, where cities gradually developed cults along Greek lines, rewrote their religious landscape in Greek terms. Temples were put up in Greek fashion. Sometimes you see an assimilation of native and Greek together. The sanctuaries at Lebranda will be a very good example of that. We'll spend some time talking about those in southwestern Turkey today. And that had a profound influence. And while this process was going on, the Romans showed up, politically incorporated the peninsula into their Mediterranean empire, and the Romans had a major impact of their own. Because as the cities were well along the way of rewriting the religious landscape of the peninsula in Greek terms, they at the same time incorporated the Roman political idiom. The ancient gods were then linked to the Roman emperor, and you'd have the development of imperial cult temples. And these traditions fed into the Christianization of the shrines that begins in the 4th and 5th and 6th centuries and carries through the Middle Ages as a result of Constantine's conversion to Christianity in 312. And finally, with the arrival of the Turks in the 11th century, there was another process of rewriting the religious landscape again along Muslim lines. And this process will be seen very vividly in the architecture, in the arts, and in the orientation of cities. And perhaps the best way to close is to give you an example of that I've encountered in studying in Turkey these past 10 years. I was searching for a very early sanctuary, a sanctuary to the mother goddess Kubilay at the town of Kumbet in what are known as the Phrygian Highlands, which is in western Turkey. And I was there in the spring. And I did get through this village, and I got up to see that cult temple. It was a very modest cut from living rock, probably from the 6th or 7th century B.C., a very ancient Anatolian site. And I filmed it very diligently and took all my notes, as a good classical scholar should, and wondering, well, you know, how did the Greeks and Romans react to this shrine? And when I finished my work, I turned around, and just behind me was a little teke, a conical-shaped building, quite modest, which had been erected probably in the 13th or 14th century to a Muslim holy man, very often known as a hoja, a mentor. It's a memorial shrine dedicated to a Muslim holy man and was the principal means whereby the Turks claimed the peninsula for themselves. The spot had always been sacred. It's atop a mountain, more a hill, with a beautiful view. It's where they had worshipped the mother goddess. It's where the Greeks and Romans had come to offer their versions of prayers to that goddess, known as Kubele in Greek or Magna Mater in Latin. Undoubtedly, there was some sort of pilgrimage point for Byzantines, early Christians, and finally you end up with this little holy shrine to a Muslim. The springs, the mountaintops, all of these areas were sacred. And as you study any of the religious landscapes of any of these civilizations, you find yourself instinctively moving backwards and forwards to the early Neolithic and Hittite eras and forward to the Muslim eras. And part of the excitement is studying that process, and that's what I plan to do in the coming lectures. Thank you.